Hey. Hey, hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. Come on now, gather around, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Another episode of Life Unapologetic with Athena. Super excited to bring you guys along with me on this conversation that I'm going to have on my radio show, which is Friday Brunch with Athena, every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on 216 The Beat radio station. I'm excited about this conversation. The title of the conversation is Seeking Approval. Come on, somebody. Seeking Approval. And we know the ultimate thing that comes along with seeking approval is the fear of rejection. So we are going to have a conversation this morning about seeking approval, what that looks like, the dynamics of that, how we're affected as a people, how we're affected as believers, and how we can hopefully move forward in the course of this conversation. This may be a two-part episode or two-part series of a conversation that we're going to have, but we're going to have it because what? On Friday Brunch with Athena, our slogan is having faith-based conversations that are oftentimes seen as taboo. And we know here on Life Unapologetic with Athena that we live life unapologetically in front of others, right? We take everything that we must take to the Father. We walk our own individual journey out with Him, and we live it unapologetically to others because we live a lifestyle of repentance, right? And we put everything that can create division, that can create discord, that can create separation, we put those things at His feet. We don't have to be concerned how others feel about what we know we have put at His feet, about what we know that we take to Him. So come with me on this journey this morning. Join me in the conversation and let's see what God has to say this wonderful Friday morning. Friday's episode and conversation. Listen, we are going to definitely jump into our topic this morning, but I just want to introduce myself. I am Athena Stewart, founder and CEO of the Spiritual Growth Academy, along with some other things that we are working on and super excited about. I'm super excited to be here on 216 The Beat radio station. Come on, they allowed me to have a slot another month, and I don't take that for granted. Super excited and super honored to be able to have space on these platforms to share what I feel God puts on my heart to give and to show up and to release. And so I was thinking about the show last night, and I said, I don't know what we're gonna talk about because I really have truly unplugged, some would say disconnected, just so I could get centered and recalibrate, right? Sometimes we just got to get back to the basics. And so I have definitely been doing that effectively. Okay, I've been doing that effectively, and it has been really refreshing to just get back to myself, get back to my family, get back to my why. Come on, somebody. I've been getting back to my why, and I've been really talking to myself and talking to God about why do I show up on these platforms, or why do I have these platforms? What am I? What's my why in regards to my influence? And that's really important because what I've noticed over this last couple of weeks of me just really disconnecting is I've really been looking at the why. You can get so lost in the social media platforms. There's so many different influences that bombard us every day that we open up a phone or a device. The moment that you plug in, there's all of these reasons as to why you should be doing this or you should be doing that so that you can get here or that you can get there, purchase this to scale there. And you find yourself going in this rat race with others, right? With all good intentions, nonetheless, leading you, I say, to burnout. But also, I feel like what I have been experiencing in really just trying to show up, trying to be consistent, trying to be influential, is that you lose perspective on who you're allowing to be in your space, right? And the whys you're allowing those individuals to be in your space. And so when you step back to get some clarity, you really can begin to see where you may need to pivot, where you may need to change directions, change trajectory, all based on what God's will is for your life. So today we're going to be talking about seeking approval. I had several books out last night, and I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need you to give me a conversation today based on something in nine of these books that I have. You're going to have to give me something. I thought our conversation was going to be on the number nine, but he switched it up. And so when I saw the title Seeking Approval, I said, yep, that's it. That's it. Because over the last couple of weeks, that's what the core issue had been about, was seeking approval. Now, the underlining issue when it comes to seeking approval is rejection. Everybody today does not want to be rejected. What is the opposite of rejected? It's acceptance. Everybody wants to be accepted. Some people put up a hard exterior and say they don't really care whether or not they're accepted, whether or not people like them, whether or not people want to converse with them. That could be no further from the truth. Everybody in some way, shape, or form wants to be accepted into a demographic or into a space in society. Why? Because God built us for relationship. Okay. And in order to be in relationship, there has to be some acceptance. But what is happening as a result of us having this false perspective and these false ideologies of acceptance is a lot of us are walking around being tolerated. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be tolerated by nobody. I am who I am, and my walk is my walk, and my journey is my journey. And so that is what I have been getting clear on is, listen, the people that I am meant to be around, the people that are meant to have proximity to me, yeah, I let you into my space, those people aren't tolerating me. And those people, I'm not really seeking approval. It is a organic, natural relationship that evolves out of just who I am. And I was getting dressed this morning, and I was just kind of meditating. I always meditate just on my thoughts. I really try to zone in on my thoughts. I'm getting really good at just taking those everyday activities that we do, brush our teeth, take a shower, make the bed, and really just listen to my thoughts. And I began to just really marinate with the Holy Spirit on this whole thing of acceptance, right? On this whole thing of rejection and seeking others' approvals, and just the many reasons why we go down this really dark rabbit hole. And so let me give you the meaning of seeking approval. It means the desire or desiring favorable opinions of others. How many are desiring favorable opinions of others? We all want others to have a favorable opinion of us. I think we all want to be good-spirited and good-hearted in some way. Maybe some of us lose our path. We've all been there too, okay? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the coffee mug, right? And so we desire favorable opinions of others because of, you know, maybe what influence they have, or maybe what direction we're headed in our life, or maybe the need for a partnership or networking. Now it's all about networking, right? So if we look at it in the context of social media and all of these virtual spaces, who you're connected to, right, really makes a difference on, in some minds, on where you're headed, right, or where your future's headed, or where your ministry's headed, or where your business is headed. I'm totally going to be totally honest with you. I feel like I got trapped in that, where it was networking, right? Showing up, and you get spread so thin in this perspective and ideology that you will lose track of where God has been telling you to go. And so I want to encourage those of us who may be stuck in this perpetual cycle to really get clear on what your desire is in regards to favorable opinions of others. Where is that desire rooted from? And is that what God is asking you to do? You know, where are you trying to take your business or your ministry based on the opinions of others? And is that what God's heart is on the matter of you. Let's look at scripture because I always want to bring scripture into my conversations. John chapter 12, verse 42 through 43 says, "Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him." Nevertheless, no matter what was going on, many believers in the day that Jesus walked to earth believed in him. Now, they didn't necessarily want to say they believed in him, but they believed in him. Now, I had some negative interactions, and I continue to talk about this because it is just the lesson in this season. I'm learning so much from this lesson. And there were individuals who were my friends, i.e., so I thought. And so the context of the conversation was that, you know, they love me and they believe in me, but they can't be partnered with me because of my journey. Now, many of you know a little bit about my journey, a little bit about my past. I don't hide my past, homosexuality, all of the dips and turns that have come with that, that being a huge generational curse in my family. I mean, if you look at it, it's all over the place. Okay. And I am not ashamed to say that that has been a huge defining factor of my journey. Nonetheless, I still have a relationship with God. Nonetheless, I still have favor from God. I was actually sitting yesterday and I was really talking to God because my past and my journey has so many ups and downs. And I really was talking to God about it. I really was kind of just being honest with God, like, God, this has been a really hard journey. And a lot of it wasn't my fault. And I say this to a lot of people, guess what? It wasn't your fault. It was things that were placed on you because of the decisions of others. And as I was talking to God about it, I was like, God, I just thank you for your faithfulness and for your love, because no matter what wrong turns that I've taken, no matter what wrong decisions that I've taken, one thing I know to be true, if I were to die today or if God was to come back today, I know that I have a relationship with God. And whether or not I add up to the next person in their eyes on how they feel because of their ideologies, their perspective, their perception, or what they've been taught, I know where I stand with God. I don't know how many people can say that when you are in the throes of seeking approval. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you have a relationship with God, that you hear from God, that you are loved by God, that your identity is secure in God? Do you know that for yourself? I always think of that scripture, and I was thinking about it yesterday. Even the very elect will be, you know, they will be fooled. They will be lost. Some will fall off. Even the very elect, even those who are spiritually mature, those who can quote the Bible inside and out, they will be deceived. And we run around with these religious ideologies, pointing finger at one another, thinking that one another is deceiving, when the word of God says a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And we don't even see that we're dividing the kingdom of God at the comparison game, at pointing at religious ideologies, who's following this tradition, who walks this way, what title this person has, all formed in this seeking approval. Let me get back, because I got to get through some of this. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, how many know about that Pharisee-like spirit? They were not confessing. They were not confessing. You know what somebody told me, this one individual on the phone? You know what they had the nerve to say this. This is what they said, y'all. This is what they said. Okay, Instagram, you hear me, wisdom, YouTube, Facebook, Life Unapologetic with Athena. They said, we're going to get through this together. You question who I am and my past and how that reflects on what God says about me and my call, my ministry, the anointing I have access to, the gifts I have access to, which you only access through relationship, the fruit that I produce, which is only through the Holy Spirit. You mean to tell me that You say that, you know, because of what other people think about me, you can't walk with me or partner with me, but I'm your friend. I love you. And we're going to get through this together. I've been getting through my journey with God by myself for a long time. for someone to have the audacity to say, you know, I think this about you and I think that about you, but we're going to get through this together. It's going to be all right. There's nothing wrong. I don't see anything wrong with me. I don't have an issue. So when I think about that Pharisee-like spirit, it's individuals who got your back on the back end, but when it comes to opportunity, or when it comes to position, or when it comes to wanting to be seen in a different light, they seem to forget that character and integrity is both seen and unseen. You hold your character and you have integrity based on what you do when you're in front of the camera, you're in front of the mic, or when you're off. It's not predicated on what other people feel about you and what other people perceive about you. So in that moment, I was really questioning this person's integrity. What do you mean we're going to get through this together? I've been getting through this with God my whole life. I've been putting the things about me that may make other people uncomfortable before God since I was 12 years old. This has been a journey for me. This continues to be a journey for me. I continue to not be hidden about my journey. I continue to put the things at the Father's feet that concern me about my journey. So for someone to feel like I needed them to come alongside me to get through my journey together, It kind of threw me. These have been the conversations that I have been having with individuals who felt the need to pry into my past and reflect that on my present, and then have the audacity to reflect that on my future, all under the content of religion. And this is what the Pharisee-like spirit does. They say that they support you and they believe in you, but they ain't willing to stand with you. Now, when God tell you, you gotta talk about the testimony as you're going through it. When God says, I want you to share this part about your past. I want people to know that I am the God who can stand next to someone who has done this, that, and the third. Now they kind of have to move away. You know, you got people who are selective on what they want to share. But the truth be told, a lot of us have done some things and made some decisions and gone through some things. And because of shame and condemnation, we're still trapped in trauma. We got those triggers of those things, and we want to hide under the context of religion when it comes to what we have experienced and what we have been through. And so here we see people supposedly believing on Jesus, but wouldn't have the courage to confess because of position. It says they would not confess him for fear that they would be put out of the sangue, put out of the church. How many of us have been put out of the church? How many of us have been put out of groups? How many of us have been rejected by groups of individuals? For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. They rather the approval of man than the approval of God. 2018, October 2018, was my month and year where I said, God, I don't want to have any other thought that doesn't come from you. I want to know you for myself. I want to know whether or not you're real. I want to know whether or not you approve of me. I want to know whether or not you see me. I want to know whether or not you hear me. I want to know whether or not I have a purpose. I want to know whether or not I have a call. I want to know whether or not I'm worthy. Like, I need you to show me supernaturally from eternity here in the flesh, or we're good. Because what I'm not going to do is be complacent with a ritualistic routine that we call religion, going and signing up and showing up and doing this and doing that, when I know deep down in my heart, behind closed doors, I don't feel anything from you for whatever the reason is. And that's where my journey began. That's where I knew God for myself. That's where I spoke all of the things that I was ashamed about, all of the things that I felt condemned about. That was the time where I laid it out all verbally, something I had never done with God. That was the time where I spoke everything that I had ever done that I could remember out of my mouth, whether it was homosexuality, whether it was sleeping with a preacher, whether it was smoking some drugs, whether it was being addicted to Vicodin. Come on, somebody. I spoke everything out of my mouth because I wanted everything on the table. I wanted everything on the altar, and I wanted to know whether or not I, Athena, whether or not she was accepted by God, whether or not I had some confusion, whether or not I was lost in translation. I needed to know God for myself. Mm-hmm. Because I had enough of rejection. I had enough of not feeling accepted in the organization that we call the church, the buildings, these places that we attend, and the approval that we seek of others, these positions that we seek. If we have an idea, or if we feel we have a vision, and we seek the approval of others on our vision and we don't get it, we feel dismay. I was over that. Uh-huh. I was over that because I was thinking about how the Bible says that the veil was torn in two and how we had the ability to go before God for ourselves. And I was thinking about how that always seemed to be a false perspective, because yet we were always going to others for approval when we had permission to go to God for ourselves. So I wanted to know, what was my block that I wasn't having this experience, this individual experience like everybody else? And it was because I was seeking the love and the approval of man over God. I had got so used to the tangible things that I had no understanding of the spiritual side of things. I had to learn that I didn't know how to love God spiritually. I had to learn that I didn't know how to approach God spiritually. I had to learn that I wasn't really flowing in the spirit like the many opportunities that I had. I had to get to the basics with God. I had to get to the basics with God. I had to begin to learn that seeking the approval of God trumped everything and everybody. Come on, somebody. Everything and everybody. God's spirit has been poured out on all flesh. So I had an opportunity to know God for myself. That changed my life. October 2018 changed my life. It doesn't mean that rejection still doesn't sting. It doesn't mean that non-acceptance still doesn't sting. But I know who I know. And I know who calls me. And I know my identity in God. Nobody can take that from me. Nobody can take the experiences in my quiet space. Nobody can take the downloads. Nobody can take the feelings that I feel when I cry out to God. Nobody can take away when I lay my stuff at the altar of God and feel his presence in my space. Nobody can take anything away from the conversations that I have. We have to get so clear that we have a relationship with God for ourselves that nobody can take that from you. I don't care what circle you're not accepted in. I don't care how they look at you. I don't care what they say about you. I don't care what they post about you. You have to know that you know that you know God for yourself, and understand that when you stand before that white throne of judgment, that is you and God. That you have done all that you have been told to do by God in this earth to build legacy that's going to transcend into eternity. What is there inside of us that craves the approval of others? What is this thing inside of us that approves, that yearns, that craves for the approval of other people? Yeah, we want to be approved and accepted by our family. And a lot of times that's hard in itself for the things that we want to do. Yeah, we want to be approved in the circles that we run in. What is this thing? How does the approval of others influence our decision-making process? Uh-huh. If they don't sign off on you, if they don't high-five you, if they don't support you, if they don't put the backing behind you, well, how does that affect your decision-making process? When people say they support you and they got your back and they're there and they're going to walk with you, and then they turn away, how does that affect your decision making process? Do you fold and shut down? Does it make the vision irrelevant? Does it make what you thought you heard God say about you, what you thought you heard God say to do, does that make it irrelevant? Does that make it non-essential at that point because the approval of others was taken away? How far are you and I willing to go to get the approval of other people? Come on, somebody. How far are you and I willing to go for approval of other people? How far? How far? I believe God wants to know, how far are we willing to go? for the approval of your vision by someone else, for them to validate what God has given you is good enough. We have this fear that we run around with. We won't release things. We won't produce things. We won't move on things. We won't pull the trigger. It's not because we don't have the ability. It's not because we don't have the capacity. It's not because we don't have the talent. It's not because we don't have the access to God. It's because of what people may think. If it doesn't look like this or feel like this or sound like this. Some of us feel like we have to be like everybody else, sound like everybody else, do like everybody else. And God is calling you to do something completely unorthodox. Why? Because you are completely unorthodox. You ain't supposed to be called by God. You ain't supposed to carry an anointing. No, you don't fit the mold. Mm-mm. God couldn't call somebody like you. Why? Why would he? He's a holy God. He's a righteous. And you don't fit none of that on the exterior. Yeah, I'm talking from experience. Some would answer too far. Some would answer we were willing to go way too far for the approval of others as we reap the consequence of doing things that cost us our reputation and often our freedom. And this is not about the reputation here in the earth. This is the reputation in heaven. We make decisions and we dumb down. We step back and we come in alignment, right? Mm-hmm. With authority here on the earth, ignoring the authority in heaven because the authority here on the earth somehow trumps God. Yeah. And so then we give up our freedom. We become locked in this cage of complacency. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we don't want to offend. We don't want to step out of line. We don't want to be considered rogue. We become complacent. It leads to stagnicity. I don't know how many worship places I've went to and just saw people stagnant. Stagnant. No growth, no movement, no tenacity, no vision, no drive. Elders of the church, people who have lived for decades, no vision, no purpose, running for nothing, just showing up because that is the routine. They lost their freedom somewhere along the lines of seeking approval. The root cause of our wanting approval of others is the fear of rejection and the fear of losing something. Uh-huh. I'm not going to be 65, dedicated to a worship organization that we call the church and have no vision. I'm not going to be 65 and called an elder of the church and have no power. I'm not going to be 65 years old and have no legacy that I can't point back to God that doesn't bring God glory. My sitting in the pew and taking up space is not enough for me. So if that means that I have to overlook the approval of others and go at it alone, God, so be it. Because, you know, when you read the Old Testament, the for real OGs of God, the for real elders of the church, the Elijahs and the they went at it alone. They weren't willing to put their mantles and the access to the anointing and the call on their lives on the shelf for the approval of others. They went at it alone. Yeah, Moses murdered. He wasn't willing to put up what God had told him to do because of what others felt about his past. Uh-uh. He went at it. Even though he had a speech impediment, he went after it. He wasn't willing to be complacent because of the approval of others. We saw what happened when you go after the approval of others. Some got swallowed up in the earth and the rest died in the wilderness seeking the approval of others. Yeah, I'm not willing to give up my future in God because of fear. And so when I read that, the root cause of wanting approval is first fear and second rejection. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what's happening in the church today. It's a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. Misguided fear, misunderstood fear, unseen fear, unaddressed fear. Uh-huh. A lot of fear happening in the body of Christ, creating ultimately division. And then we got the ultimate word of rejection happening in the body of Christ. We're rejecting one another because of our perspectives and our thoughts and our ideologies. And nobody is talking about God's thoughts and God's heart and God's desire on the position of the person. We have our opinions and our titles and our so-called authority and the amount, the mantles and the anointing that don't really belong to us, but is an honor and an opportunity to carry. And somehow we get lost in who we think we are here in the earth, that we forget that the very person that you're shunning and you're rejecting and you're creating this opportunity of division because of fear, you forget that they belong to God. You forget that God created them. You forget that they too have a book of destiny in heaven by which God knew exactly where they were going to be and how they were going to be and what they were going to look like and how they were going to sound in the same moment that you decided that you were bigger and better and holier than them to turn your nose up and to turn your face away. Never heard David say to anybody, turn your face away from my sin. The only person he said, God, turn your face away, was God. He didn't really care about what everybody else thought. But God, listen, in the middle of my mess, turn your face. Look not on my sin. Don't take your spirit away because of the things that I'm struggling with. Was never concerned about what man thought about him. Rejection, rooted in fear. The very thing we are supposed to have a hold on, the very thing we are supposed to be overcomers of, we are subjected to. So fear creates rejection, and rejection creates persecution. Yeah, we do it. We do it. We think that we know something and we have some information and we feel some kind of way, and then we go on a persecution, especially on social media, all of the subliminal persecutions that we do, all of the subliminal posts that we do. I had to repent for a post I put because I was feeling in my emotions and I put a post for the people who I don't talk to. I don't reach out to. I don't really understand why I have to. And there was some unforgiveness there that I had to deal with. So we go on these rants and we go on these emotional exploits. Then we got to go back. We got to ask God to take the legalistic access from the enemy so that it doesn't affect other areas of our lives. Why? It all started in fear of rejection that turned into persecution. Somebody didn't approve us. Somebody didn't accept us, and it created this reintroduction to fear, because quiet as it is kept, it's not because of them that we have fear of rejection. It's because of past traumas that we have fear of rejection. They just happen to hit a nerve. They just happen to hit a traumatic trigger that traps us back in trauma, and that should be an indicator that I got to go back and seek out some things that need to be worked on. I got to go back and do a little bit more heart work, more heart search with the Holy Spirit. Rejection results in feelings of worthlessness. Come on, somebody. Rejection results in feelings of worthlessness. One thing I learned reading the book of Psalms, one thing I learned studying the life of David, is he came to know his worth in God. I don't care what he did. I don't care how low he fell. I don't care what sin he committed. One thing David came to understand is his worth in God. How many of us know how worthy we are in God? How many of us know how God really perceives and looks at us? How many of us truly know how God truly feels about us? If we get away from society, if we get away from the ideologies of this culture in this day and time, and we solely get to God, how do you feel about me? You would be surprised. The things that you hide, the things that you run from, the things that you don't address because of fear, because of lack of understanding, because of lack of spiritual maturity and spiritual insight, because of lack of true experiences with God, you don't truly know your worth. Come on, somebody. Rejection results in feelings of worthlessness. You are worthy. You are so worthy that God created a son, a sacrifice. He knew the end. He knew what the experience would be like all for you and I. He knew what this son would have to endure and what this son would have to carry and what he would have to feel. Come on, somebody. It wasn't easy for Jesus to do what he did. You think he didn't feel rejection? You didn't think fear didn't try to creep up on him? You think the pain physically, emotionally, and spiritually wasn't too much to bear for him? And yet he still did it? God is trying to show some of us how worthy we are to him in his eyes. That trumps other people's worthiness or thoughts of worthiness on us. That trumps how worthless we may seem to others, that they don't want to walk with you because, you know, they walk with so-and-so and they so-and-so has this and so-and-so has that title. So I can't walk with you. You're a tax collector, Jesus. How can you go and have dinner with that tax collector? How can you go sit? How can you enter into his home? God wasn't worried about them because he understood the worth of that soul. God wasn't worried about the ones with titles and the ones with influence. When Jesus walked and he said, Zachariah, come down. He told Zachariah, listen, this day I'm going to sup with you. It was to show that I'm not seeking the approval of those who have a title. I'm not seeking the approval of those who have a platform. I'm not seeking the approval of those who have success. It's not my purpose. It's not my ministry. It's not why I'm here. I'm here for those who are struggling. I'm here for those who are lost. I'm here for those who are having a hard time. I'm here for those who don't understand. I'm here for those who are confused. I'm not here for those who feel like they got it together. I'm not here for those who feel comfortable and entitled. I'm not here for those who feel like they have some type of form of authority that they can pass. I'm not here for them. I'm here for those who are lost. Come on, somebody. To some, this may mean disobeying God and stifling the conscience in order to be accepted, not rejected by anyone. We begin to dumb down our awareness of God. We begin to turn our ear away from the Spirit of God. We begin to push away the unction of God, all because we want to be accepted. We don't want to experience rejection, and we don't want to feel worthless. To be in this circle makes me feel like I made it. To have this person's ear or to be on this person's platform gives me this false perspective and ideology that somehow I made it. Somehow this is what it is to be blessed. Somehow this is what it is to have anointing. Somehow this is what it is to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Take some pages from the prophets of old who walked. I'm telling you, they didn't walk on platforms with others. They didn't partner with others for effectiveness. Their power didn't lie in who they were connected to. No, power lied in who God was to them. We are also fearful of losing something. Mm-hmm. We are also fearful of losing something, such as a relationship or a promotion. Well, what is it going to cost you if that circle doesn't accept you? What is it going to do to your vision if that person with that title and influence doesn't endorse you? Uh-huh. Are you walking around with the fear that you're going to lose an opportunity because of non-acceptance? Do you feel like your course or your vision or your book or your journal, come on somebody, is not going to be successful? It's not going to be seen in the spotlight. Do you feel like somehow because those people don't accept you, that the creativity that comes from God, the power that God said he's given you to create wealth, is somehow overshadowed by man? What is this fear of loss? What are we losing? If God be for you, who and what can be against you? You and I see this in the business world all the time. It could be about wanting to avoid loss of position. That's a big one. Loss of power and authority, or not wanting to lose lucrative accounts, lucrative opportunities. It is all over social media. Everything is about making six figures. Six figure that and six figure this. If you made $1,000, you made six figures. A lot of us made $1,000 in our day. You made six figures. You're so lost in this ideology of success, this ideology of come up, that we're willing to fall in these traps and these cycles that take us away from the original purpose. That's why I shut down. That's why I'm recalibrating. That's why I'm getting recentered. Just me and God back to basics. What is my why? What has changed this month, this year? What is the direction? What is the pivot? Because that strategy of the rural, that false illusion, that false chase, I'm done with that. Needing to be accepted, I'm done with that. I'm called to a demographic. And the relationships that I'm to have will happen organically. And they will be based on my heart posture. They will be based on who I am as an individual, not what I'm perceived to be, not what I'm thought to be, not compared to an ideology. Not interested. Not interested. Will not be interested. Will not entertain. Never again. What is the fear that you have? What is it that you're going to lose if this, that, or the third doesn't happen, doesn't accept, doesn't endorse? Whatever your obvious motivation, the bottom line is the same. We crave the acceptance and approval of others more than we value doing what is right in God's eyes. I'm going to say it again. Because we need to accept this. It's a reality. We need to accept this. We crave the acceptance and approval of others more than we value doing what is right in God's eyes. We do. Check your records. Check your journal pages. Look back at your activity. Have you been craving and seeking after others' approval? That has caused God to fall in the backdrop? Are you picking up your phone and going to social media before you go to prayer? Are you picking up the phone to call John and Jill and Joe to get their opinion before you take it to God? Does what someone says, because they're tangible and you can audibly hear them by dialing a number or sending a text, is that held more weight than waiting to hear on God? We crave the acceptance and approval of others more than we value doing what is right in God's eyes, even if it goes up against the status quo. People who constantly and fervently seek the approval of others live with an identity crisis. And some would say, I got a whole identity crisis. But let me tell you, I've learned the true meaning of identity. I don't care what you look like on the outside. That's not your identity in God. That's not your identity in God. Because one thing is for certain and one thing is for sure. When God comes back to this earth, whatever you turn out to look like and whatever your choices you appear to be today, that's not going anywhere when Christ comes back. And some of us are so stuck on what people look like, sound like, that it creates all of these thoughts and these ideologies, when at the end of the day, that is not true identity. Some of us post titles and give labels and give names to people, when at the end of the day, God is so much bigger than that. I've had to learn for myself the true meaning of identity through God's eyes. Why? Because my journey was really held back because of a false perception and perspective of identity. When I looked in the mirror, I didn't like who I saw because I had made poor choices that I thought reflected on my identity. When it came to God, I thought what I saw in the mirror reflected what God felt about me. But I had to learn. I had to allow God to awaken me in the spirit of what my true identity is. And no matter what this exterior looks like, and no matter what poor choices I may have made, it is not my identity in the Father. Come on, somebody. It is not my identity in God. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you sound like. You need to get clear on who you are in God. Because outside of that, you're having an identity crisis. an identity crisis. Society has created words by which to label people, and we go along with these labels and call that who we are. I refuse. You're this, so that means that I'm against that. I refuse. Sorry, won't take that bait. Identity crisis. They don't know who they are, and they are defined by what others think of them. Who is God talking to? Some of us are trapped in identity crisis that we truly don't know who we are, and we are defined by what other people say and think about us. I refuse. I have a different revelation. I have a different perspective. I refuse to fall victim because you feel some kind of way about who I am and that I have the nerve to talk about God. I refuse to shut up and shut down. I refuse to not show up. I was sitting on my couch and I was saying, you know, God, I thank you. I thank you for who I am in you. I thank you for my relationship in you. And I thank you that I am so blessed. I am so favored. I had to really take that in yesterday. Because if I would have went by what people were saying about me and the people who walked away from me and the people who disconnected from me, if I had allowed that to fog my view of who God says I am and the favor that I have from God, I would be a depressed, rejected, suicidal mess. And I had to sit down yesterday and I had to thank God for his favor. I had to thank God for his presence. I had to thank God for his relevance in my life. I said, God, how can I be all of this to these individuals when I am so blessed by you? I am so loved by you. I am so accepted by you. I am so desired by you. You wake me up with the hunger to come pray. You wake me up with the hunger to come worship. You wake me up with the desire to give a word. You wake me up with the desire to give an encouragement. You wake me up to go on these platforms. This is not me and myself. This is you. I have to remember who I'm called by. I have to remember the favor that's on my life. I have to look around and see the evidence of God's love in the everyday. Some of us are in an identity crisis. We're allowing ourselves to be defined by others. The sad part is, if your security is built on others, you are fragmented. In other words, you are double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You're fragmented. Because if they move left and they move right and God says go straight, you're fragmented. You don't know what to do. And see, that's that hard part about having to walk away from people and people walking away from you. It has to be okay with you. Because your purpose is not to follow people. Your purpose is to follow God. God never called us to follow people. He called us to follow him. People may follow people because they're seeking him. And the people who have influence and authority and anointing and a power given by God to influence others are to lead those people who are following them back to him. That's the goal. I'm very clear on that. Follow God. Follow God. Let your security be in God. Let your security be in his promises. You might get approval from one person for doing what makes them happy, but the next person you come into contact with expects something different. You continue the cycle trying to please everyone until you reach a point of pleasing no one, especially God. Y'all better get this. You might be able to please one, make them happy. Suffice. Yeah. Oh, great. They're in your corner. They're signing up to your membership. They're buying your products. Great. The next person, not so much. Whatever it is, not so much. And you're in this cycle of trying to please people. You don't understand. That's not the mission. That's not the purpose. That's not the call. That's not what the mantle's for. That's not what the anointing's for. And you're so stuck in this cycle that you miss that you're not pleasing God. The one that you should be focused on, the one that should be directing your steps, the one that you should be going after. You're so fogged by people and numbers and emojis and likes and follows that you don't even realize that God isn't following you. The grace has lifted, the cloud has moved, and you're totally outside of it. I don't know about you, but like Moses, I want that cloud to be at my tent of meeting. I don't want to be nowhere the glory of God isn't. I don't want to be nowhere the cloud isn't. I don't care what people feel or think about me. As long as I know that I hear God in my quiet time, that secret place that only I go in, that I don't take anybody. As long as I know I can meet King Jesus, I really don't care. I don't, because that's the only one I will have to answer to when it is all said and done. What will that look like for you? You can't be a whole person and allow others to dictate. You cannot be a whole person in God and allow others to dictate. Your narrative is dictated by God. God says, when you look to the left and you look to the right, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That is the voice that should dictate your narrative. And yet we got so many voices. We're drowned by so much information. We don't know what direction to go. You can't open up social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Flickr, or whatever they are, without somebody telling you they have the strategy, they have the solution, they have the answer. And we bust out our credit card. We can't sow a first fruit or a tithe, but we can buy a strategy. We can sign up for a membership, dishing it out. Because they have the answer. Why? They have the following. They have the numbers. They have the influence. That comes from God. The just and the unjust alike. That comes from God. You can't be a whole person and allow others to dictate. Why? Because you're giving a part of yourself to them who are dictating, when all that you should be giving is to God. You give all to God. All of who you are goes at your altar that you build before the Lord, wherever that space is. If you got my ebook, 1 hour quiet time with God, you know that it's important to build a space, have a space by which you build an altar unto the Lord. And you give everything unto God. You have a wise counsel that you listen to because God has allowed them to be in your proximity, in your circle. And whatever you're hearing from God, because you've started there, it's going to coordinate with what they give. Why? Because they are also walking in the prophetic vein and the prophetic flow of God. It should all align. Mm-hmm. Too busy trying to call this one fake and that one real. And you miss. It's about the fruit. The fruit is not always evident to some because they're not in the prophetic flow. They can't see it. So they're stuck in religion. They're stuck in acceptance. They're stuck in seeking validation. Give it all of who you are to God. Let him dictate. As I'm wrapping up, if your approval is built on what others think, your approval rating vacillates. If your approval is built on what others think about you, what others think about what you have to offer, what others think about what you produce, it's going to vacillate. It's going to be unstable. It's the same difference as you building your business, your ministry, your vision on sand versus a secure, strong foundation. It's going to vacillate. To vacillate means to go back and forth. It's a tug of war. You're constantly thinking. You're constantly switching. You're constantly changing. Is this right? Is that right? Is this right? Well, this is how they're doing it. Well, this is what they're doing. So I must be hearing God. You're vacillating. Unstable. You never know how you stand. You never know how you stand. Did y'all hear that? You never know how, not where you stand. You don't even know how you stand. I know when I get out of bed and I put my feet down, I stand straight up. Some of us have lost our balance. Some of us have lost our stability. How many know when your equilibrium system is off, you lose balance? You don't really know how to stand. You lose your footing. And usually when you're losing your footing, your focus is on so many other things that is happening. And that's why you don't have a footing, because your focus is now divided on what's going on, because your equilibrium system is based on your eardrums. And your eardrums get all messed up, then your equilibrium system gets all messed up. You get dizzy, you become faint, you can't stand, vacillating, pulled from one direction to the other. My God, help us. How horrible to always be at the mercy of the opinions of others. How horrible is it to be at the mercy and the opinion of others? That was one thing I got this month, was get back to basics. It's about you and God. And let God bring organic relationships to you. All the other ones, let it go. They never met. They were seasonal. Whatever was produced was produced. Let that go. Do you hear from God? Do you sense God? Do you feel His presence? Do you have a desire to pray? Do you have a desire to read your word? Those are the things you should be looking for. I know I am. And when I don't feel that, when that feels distant, I ask for it. I'm not worried about those who have walked away, because they're going to always feel that they're right. They're going to always feel that their ideology, that their beliefs, that their perspective and their view is the right view. You have to be secure in your conversation with God. What does that look like? This is why we have to have conversations with God. What does that look like? Come on, somebody. What does that look like? God was showing me numbers again. You know, this seems to be the trend. In my clothes, in my wrapping, got 5 minutes back on the radio. And as I was looking at the numbers, they had two meanings, a positive and a negative. And I remember thinking or feeling condemned. I immediately felt condemned. I felt ashamed. Oh my God, God, this number means judgment. It means death. I mean, it means birth and life, but it also means death and judgment. So immediately, my rationale went to shame, condemnation. And as I sat there, I'm like, okay, God, listen, sir, okay. Whatever you're giving me, just give me the strength to get through it. If there's some judgment and some death coming, if there's a negative I'm getting ready to walk into because of a decision, okay. It is what it is. And God had to check me. He had to remind me of how much He loves me, and that even if there was a judgment that was passed, it didn't necessarily mean that was something that was inflicted on me. He began to show me the death of relationships that were necessary in this season. See, some of us get so far away from God that we begin to interpret things wrong. And those things that we interpret wrong because of others, because of what others feel, because of what others have said, because of what others don't say, because of non-acceptance, we begin to think when God is showing us something or giving us something that He's passing judgment on us. That He feels just like they feel. God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. We have to remember that when we begin to think that God is moving like everybody else. God will never move like everybody else. And every prophet isn't really of God. They just tickle with words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Because I know we pull, you know, God will first give to His prophets before. No, some prophets, they just tickle in some things. I hope you're encouraged by this. We're going to finish this conversation. We're going to finish this conversation on Friday. Because it's a long conversation. But I really feel that it's important that we get some type of grasp on seeking the approval of others. That cannot be our priority. That cannot be our stance. That cannot be our everyday. That cannot be our mission. That cannot be our purpose, our destiny. We have to understand that man does not have access to your book of destiny. God does. And anytime somebody gives you a prophetic word and it aligns with God has been talking in your spirit, it is only because they have a right heart posture before God that they were able to read a page in your book that you weren't. But understand, again, it's from God giving the access, which means that they have done something in the eyes of God to gain that trust to give to you. But never get it twisted that they hold power and authority to access because of a title. Never, ever get it twisted. Some of us are falling in that trap because of someone's title or level of influence that they have the power to do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say and to think God backs that up. Lie. Lie. It's a lie. And there's another scripture that has been resonating in my spirit, and I'm going to go after it sometime, hopefully today. The gifts come without repentance. That's been in my spirit. That's been in my spirit heavy because people will judge a person and they will say, well, they're able to do that because the gifts come without repentance. Lie. I got to search that out. Because what I'm tired of is people taking the word of God out of context and making it relevant for their argument. Because the Bible also says that my flesh is at enmity with God. Doesn't desire to do anything for God, in God, with God. So then why would my flesh desire to use the gifts for the good of God and his glory? It's really been in my spirit. I could be wrong, but it's been in my spirit, heavy in my spirit. Is this true, God? Let me get off this radio. Thank you, 216 The Beat, for listening. We love y'all. As I close, I'm going after that. That's the one thing that is bothering me in this season is context. It's context. Using phrases and scriptures for the benefit of an argument. I want to know the heartbeat of God on the matter, even if it's totally against what everyone else is following, even if it is totally away from what everyone else is saying. It doesn't mean that it's untrue. I'm looking for the peace. I'm looking for the love, because even in judgment, there is an opportunity for love, peace, and redemption. That's the type of God we serve. But anytime I see judgment where there is no opportunity for redemption and the rapture has not taken place, that's a lie. That's a lie. So all of these hard preachers and all of these prophets of God who are bringing down hell and brimstone, have a seat, please. It's tired. You're tired. Have a whole seat. Because I serve a redemptive God. I serve a loving God who can bring judgment, but in that judgment is working conviction so that that person has an opportunity to be redeemed. That's just my thoughts. I'm done. In all of the places, in all of the spaces. I love y'all. Those of you who listen to my rant and my rave, I pray that you got something out of this, seeking approval. What is God saying on the matter? We got much more to go. I pray to bring that to you guys next week on Friday. That seems to be my show up day, Fridays. That's enough for me. One day a week's enough for me right now. You can catch me here on YouTube, Facebook, the radio, the podcast, Wisdom, and maybe even Instagram. But I pray that this has blessed you. And I honestly can't wait to see you guys next week. I don't know about you, but this was a good conversation. Thank you to everyone. All of the comments. So many comments have been coming through. I'm sorry I haven't been focused on them. I apologize. But thank you all for supporting me on YouTube, on Facebook. I see your comments. I love you all. To all my podcast listeners, I love you. Wisdom, shouting out to Wisdom. Instagram, I love y'all. Listen, I got to get up out of here, but I love you guys. I appreciate you all just for your support and your love. I listen. All I know is to be authentic. If that ain't good enough, to God be whatever it is, okay? If that ain't good enough. I love you guys. I'll see you guys next week. Until then, bye now.